Welcome to Fair Women's a Nice Guy. I am your host, MNG. And today we got a great topic for y'all. We are continuing with the Black Father Inclusivity series. This is episode 3, and we have a hard debate, hard questions, hard statements that we're going to hear today. We're going to play this recording. But first, I would like to introduce the guest that I have here today. I got Jeff, No Chaser Jeff, here with me today. He listened to the audio and he already is revved up and ready to go. Like, he already expressed some things to me and I had to tell him, like, listen, I'm not debating or talking about this off the record. We're going to have to wait till the recording hit, and that's when we're going to start talking. Now, we also have our other guest. We have D is here. He's here. Go ahead. Tell him what's up, D.
What up?
Jeff, go ahead. No Chaser Jeff, tell him what the deal is.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on?
All right, so we about to go ahead and get into this audio, take a listen, and then we're going to get straight into this debate.
We talk about the stereotypes that affect us in the world of fathers. Really, can you give us some steps that we can take to challenge and dispel those negative stereotypes, especially when we talk about Black fathers in media and in society, because they have a certain image that's displayed, especially in social media and that perpetuation of that? How can we start to dispel all of those things?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I want to go back to the census you're talking about, right? Because there is also the items in the census, the U.S. Census, that tells us that 85% of children with behavioral problems comes from fathers not being in the home or in their lives. 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 71% of all high school dropouts, we're talking about nationwide, and 63% of youth suicides. And if we get deeper, we're talking about the rapist effect. There's 50%+ of rapists that are all developed and connected to the fact that fathers aren't in their children's lives or in the homes, right? And so if we start with, talking about how we turn those things around and how we start turning the stereotypes around, it starts with affecting your own home in those areas.
All right, there we go. That is the audio for episode 3. Now, I just want to remind everybody, I got this information from a Black Father Inclusivity Conference that I had went to. It was a longer title than that, but that I had went to, and I decided I wanted to use that information to go ahead and put on this podcast. So I'm going to turn this over to you, gentlemen. So the first thing I have to ask is, what were your thoughts listening to that audio? D, we're going to go ahead and jump over to you and get your opinion on this. And just kind of tell me, we have the question, we have the answer. No, the question is, how do we change the perspective that we have in social media, that perception that is kind of gearing towards the negativity of Black people because how it's shaped and how it's framed?
The numbers seem a little too high.
Okay.
So did he say 85%?
He said 85% of children with behavioral problems is because their fathers are not in the home. So let me go ahead and list them all out to you. So you got 90% of runaways and homeless, 85% of behavior issues, 71% of high school dropouts, 63% suicide, and 50%+, he didn't give accurate, 50%+ of rapists.
Yeah, those numbers seem too high. Like, who is doing these census?
Has the outcome of your kid having behavior problems. Because for one, I had my father in the household and I was bad as hell. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I know a bunch of my cousins had their father in the household. We got our ass kicked a lot, but we were bad. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, is it really behavior problems, or are they kids acting out because their parents are still dealing with their past demons and they haven't come to a conclusion of dealing with their problems, and their kids is just acting out because they're not showing them no love, they're not showing them the right way,
okay,
or they're not pointing them in the right directions for them to get help because they don't know how to get help.
Okay, so let's take it from this perspective. So you're saying that Okay, let's take you for example. You had your father in the household, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you turned out that what did you did? Great father, great provider. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing everything that you're supposed to do as a father, right? Okay. Now, what are these statistics? And I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. What if these statistics? what if these statistics are basically saying that yes, the fathers that are not in a home, and this is a result of what has occurred, you know, from those teenage years going into adulthood, and they continue to carry that trait of not being disciplined, mm-hmm. and this turns into the result, okay? Because and this is, and you know my history, but I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in a household with no father.
Mm-hmm.
But I have father figures.
Mm-hmm.
Those father figures, I would definitely say, were pivotal in the direction that I went in and kind of deterred me from a lot of stuff. Was I out there doing stuff that I wasn't supposed to be doing?
Facts.
Definitely was out there doing. Yeah. I was doing whatever I needed to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing whatever I needed to provide for my family at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing anything that would provide me some kind of substance to get ahead, mm-hmm. in life. So if it meant stealing money, if that was gonna help pay my rent, that's what I had to do. Okay. Now, was I out there going and trying to kill people or anything like that? No. You know, was I out there trying to sling drugs or anything like that? No. You know, I stayed somewhat on the straight and narrow,
mm-hmm.
but in my teenage years, because that father wasn't in the household and I didn't have that oversight from my mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody missed a ball and I went out there and did what I wanted to do with no kind of control.
Right.
Okay. So, but did it turn to behavioral issues? No.
Now see, that's what I don't like about it. It's saying, hey, 50% of the rapists ain't had daddies in their household. Okay, so what you saying? The 50% that's out here raping didn't have the fathers in the household? Or are you saying the 50% of the fathers in the household, they was rapists? So I can throw numbers all day.
Well, let's be honest. How many black rapists you know? How many black rapists have you seen?
I mean,
like, in the news. Like, I mean, let's be serious. How many black rapists have you seen?
I haven't seen any.
Haven't seen much, but you have seen black people out there with behavioral issues.
Oh yeah.
That they may say, oh well, you know, it's a mental disorder. But you know, there's a distinction between.
But that comes from the person they saying that's not in the household. That comes from the father, because the father, most 9 times out of 10, when you go into a household, the father's not going to show that he has a mental issue. He's pretty good. He's fine.
Facts.
But when there's just family there, it comes out. So if he don't know how to deal with his demons and his father don't know how to deal with his demons, how can you have a kid to know how to deal with his demons if we already been through 2 generations that didn't know how to deal with their demons?
Facts.
So my thing is, I understand what they saying. I understand they got their numbers. You know what I'm saying? I understand they did all this paper calculation. But how many fathers is in a household that the government don't know about because the mother is getting food stamps?
Or
the mother is on Section 8.
That's a good one.
I mean, let's be 100.
Let's be honest.
So my thing is, okay, y'all might say, on paper, the father might not be in that household. But physically, that father is there.
You're absolutely right. What's your thoughts on that? What's your take on what Jeff just said?
He took it. Because I was getting ready to say, what is the reasoning why these fathers aren't in the house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you could have a husband and wife, right? And let's just say one of the parties cheat, go out. 9 times out of 10, guess what? Oh, I'm taking my son with me. And now guess what happens? Fatherless child. For a while, broke up, split.
Okay.
You know, so now you got the kids hating the dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the kid hate the dad? Because the mom decided to take the kid.
It's too late. You didn't put my name in bad, nah.
I'm in the mud. Mm-hmm. My name is drug through the mud. So because now I'm looking like I'm the bad guy because now we're split and I don't have anything. I don't want to have anything to do with you. In all actuality, that's not the case. It's just that the mom said, oh, no, I'm taking the kids with me. They're not going with you.
Okay, so let's look at that. You said something very interesting. Why is it that when the woman splits from the man, the woman takes the kid, and then the kid ends up regretting the father, even though the father really had nothing to do with it? Mm-hmm. The father could have been there and been the greatest father in the world until the divorce is filed. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's your fault why the house is a mess. Even though the mom could have went out and cheated, mm-hmm. and that's why the father left. Mm-hmm. Okay, or no, whatever the case, or the woman just wanted to leave due to, you know, irreconcilable differences, because that's, mm-hmm. you know, that seemed to be like the number one thing that people keep using for divorces. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. we got irreconcilable differences. Like,
some bullshit just to get divorced.
How is that an option nowadays? Like, so you couldn't decide on peanut butter and jelly sandwich for dinner.
Nope.
So all of a sudden now, we got to file a divorce. Like,
that's the most expensive peanut butter and jelly sandwich ever.
Like, man, you paid for a long time.
Like, I wanted you to use Arm & Hammer detergent, but you keep buying Tide, damn it. Like, the Arm & Hammer is cheaper by $5, but you want to keep buying a Tide. Look, damn it. Irreconcilable differences.
Yeah, but you got. But what you got to think about is it's been going on forever. The fact that the system is geared towards women. Women are going to get whatever. It's harder for a guy, a male, to, you know, go down, get custody or whatever. And this is just from what I've heard, never been through it. But it's harder for guys.
I agree with that to a certain extent. My certain extent is, if you want your child, you're going to do whatever to go get it, period. If I got to write 179 letters tonight to get into the court by tomorrow morning, that's what I'm gonna sit here and do because I want my son in my life.
Right.
And then another point, I understand we don't have, you know, strong background fathers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we also need a strong mother mm-hmm. to help that father, because if you in the streets, you got to be on guard all the time.
Right.
I ain't talking about in the streets like slanging drugs. I'm talking about walking to the store with your son and your wife, walking in the mall, whatever. You got to be hard. You have to have a shell to have your face looking like you bet not try nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if that woman ain't got his back to where he can be vulnerable,
right,
then you're going to make a cold hearted person, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So
okay.
Now you got a mentally disabled guy and okay. a cold-hearted person. How do you think that's going to turn out?
True. I have nothing against that, but let me go ahead and redirect this really quick. So one of the things that I want to say is, not so far as the media part, because, you know, the question was basically, you know, how mm-hmm. do we change our perception in the media? How do you change perception on the news? You see something on the news, it is distinguished mm-hmm. and presented in a particular way when it comes to a black person, but it's distinguished differently mm-hmm. when it's a person of another nationality. Now, I'm not going to say white, you know, I'm not going to say Mexican or anything, but when a demographic is different,
mm-hmm.
the headline is completely different
mm-hmm.
than what it is when it's a black person. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in that aspect, if we just look at some of the positive things that black men have done out there, you know, I've seen a post on Instagram where a black man started this little club for called like Gentlemen. It shows little boys how to be gentlemen mm-hmm. in middle school. Show them how to tie the tie. Okay. The same thing that Steve Harvey does, except on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he don't do a whole boot camp and take them out to the woods. I'm a little concerned about that, but you know, Boy Scouts of America do the same damn thing. But you
Facts.
See what happens there.
Facts.
But you know, send them out there with Steve Harvey. You know, I ain't getting nothing wrong. I ain't getting nothing against it. You know, that, do what you do with your kids. I can just tell you right now, it ain't my black kid.
You feel me?
I can tell you that shit right now. Okay. Damn, they won't go to the Boy Scouts of America. Yeah, we're going out there to the camp for what? But,
nah, I mean, you ain't going, so you stay right here with me.
I need you to have this walkie-talkie on you at all times. Ran to 10,000 feet, I'll be on my way. But when you talk about perception, do you feel like the positive news of Black fathers, Black empowerment, Black enrichment is pushed to the background versus the negativity that is out there?
Okay, first of all, I gotta ask you, what channel you watching? Because I don't never see Black positivity on TV.
Well, I'm not just talking about social media TV.
Or streaming. I mean, on TV shows, yeah, okay, whatever. Okay. But I'm talking about in reality. What? Please tell me what channel you watch.
I mean, I see it.
Which news?
I see it on Instagram.
We talking about.
Wait, tell me when T Grizzly was at the Coney.
that was on Instagram. Well, Channel 7 was out there. Channel 7 was out there. And I seen Channel 7.
Now, see, my thing is this: we would never see Black positive on TV to a large scale.
Okay.
Reason being, their whole concept of news is to get the most Black acting, ignorant, stupid, okay, don't facts. Not speak person on that camera.
Okay. You're absolutely right.
You know what? You're right.
So we're not going to see no positive unless the guy have money.
Now, you did bring up something that was interesting. You said T Grizzly. Now, just to give everybody an idea of what happened, you know, and a lot of people outside of Michigan don't know what Coney Island is. Like, you got to be from Michigan to actually know what kind of Coney Island is. You go to New York and say Coney Island, they're thinking of something completely different.
Facts.
When you talk about, they're like, what's a Coney Island? Girl, where you get all the goddamn food at? What you mean? Now, do you think that, and I'm going to give my opinion on this first. I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm going to give my opinion on it first. Do you think that T Grizzly going to Coney Island and feeding all those people, I don't know how many people he fed, I seen a line that was just rap. Feeding all those people, do you think that it was a positive impact and image for Black culture or Black people? Now, he like, MNG, you keep running me in the ground with this shit, bro. Like, yo ass keep throwing these damn zingers and shit. So I'm gonna tell you my perspective on this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that it was the best representation for Black people. And the reason why I say that is because there are other things that you could have done to empower. I mean, it's getting close to Thanksgiving. You could have gave up turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to Coney Island, and just let me put in perspective what Coney Island is. If you ever thought about going to a place that was like the bottom of the barrel, food is good, but a bottom of the barrel restaurant that stays open pretty much 24/7, where you can get breakfast, lunch, and dinner
anytime
you want to. Mm-hmm. A menu so colossal,
mm-hmm,
you can get anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can get burgers, you can get salads, you can get hot dogs, you can get chili, you can get biscuits,
mm-hmm,
you can get pancakes, you can get waffles, you can get
omelets,
French toast, you
everything.
Can get omelets. You can get anything that you can think of on this menu,
mm-hmm,
for a very affordable price.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't fuck up your stomach.
Mm-mm.
But it's gonna be the sloppiest, delicious thing you ever taste.
It's definitely after club food for real.
Definitely. if a person ever thought about, oh man, it's after 2 o'clock, Taco Bell closed, it's always gonna be a Coney Island open.
Right.
Is and they are in the hood and they are open.
All
24/7. 7 right. days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So and the reason why I asked the question is because I rolled past and I didn't know what was going on until I seen it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was, dang, what's going on over here? But I see it on Instagram, I'm like, oh, T Grizzly. I'm like, why did he do that? It's so close to Thanksgiving. Why you couldn't do turkeys? You know, why couldn't you do a raffle to pay somebody rent or go find somebody who had to link with taxes? Because the same money that you probably spent at Coney Island, you could have paid for somebody to stay in a house for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like there was something more meaningful that could have been done, mm-hmm, than to give somebody some Coney Island cheeseburgers or whatever the fuck they ordered.
Right.
I just think I really think it was a low form of gratitude that he tried to give back to the streets. In my opinion, but you could tell me different.
Yeah, I mean, because I briefly read it and it was like, oh yeah, I used to frequently come to this Coney Island, so he felt like that was a good gesture. But like you said, he could have pulled up and did turkeys at the Coney, and guess what? It probably would have still brought business to the Coney because you got to come to the Coney to get the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So now you probably saved what, $10 on your Coney Island when Kroger's selling turkeys for $40.
And here's another one. It's not a black business.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope. It's not a black owned business.
It's not even a black owned business.
Even though I got my gripe with black owned businesses. It's not a black owned business.
And then let's push it a little further. Let's,
okay. Let's be 100. Let's go. Let's go.
The only reason why he was there is because it was Coats for Kids. Now, the radio does that every year, you know, hats off to them, you know what I'm saying? Appreciate that, you know? But he donated. Now, I'm going to be the first person to say this. I'm not counting nobody pockets. I'm not downing this guy for what he done.
Okay.
But at the same time, if you want to give back to your hood or give back to a restaurant, let's start with something like feeding them more than one day if they hungry as fuck. That line was long as hell.
But that line, looking at the social media thread, mm-hmm. that line was full of people that probably had the money. They just like, meal.
I mean, they probably did have the money, but at the same time, it was probably a lot of people in that line that didn't have no money.
Right.
That too.
So my thing is this, if you go do something, let's weed out the people that got money. All right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up a food bank. You know what I'm saying? I got y'all a whole meal for Thanksgiving.
There you go.
Now, you're not just feeding them for one day. You're feeding them for at least 3 or 4, maybe 5 days.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So now you bought me a Coney Island hot dog,
mm-hmm.
some little fries and a drink. Oh, I get to eat this shit for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Guess what? I got to go shit, and I'm about to be hungry as hell in the next 45 to 50 minutes because I'm a kid running around. Even off of my door, I'm trying to hustle and get some money. So now I'm about to be hungry as hell again.
So now let me ask this. What do you think what do you think that perpetuates online? Because we're still talking about image. We still talk about perception.
I mean, to some people that looked at great, that looked at, oh, T. Grizz getting back. You know what I'm saying? That's the man. I think he live in Detroit, don't he?
I don't know.
But like a lot of people, they probably think like, oh yeah, he really put on for the city. But like,
I'm sorry, I don't think he's a national name.
He is. No, let's not take nothing from him.
That one song put him on the map.
That one song.
But we're not going to take nothing from him.
I'm not trying to take anything from him.
My man is out there. I'm not going to front him. Because I fuck with him. I listen to him.
I'm not trying to hate.
But my thing is, if you go put your city on, go ahead and put your city on. Do a...
Because honestly, I don't see Eminem at the trailer park doing no shit.
Eminem, I don't think Eminem do shit here.
Really, exactly.
Restaurant downtown.
But
once again, that's for his own perks. My thing is, like I said, I'm not trying to tell nobody what to do.
No,
but
if you're
claiming to do something for your community that we don't know about, by all means, hats off to you, my brother. I look forward to seeing more of what you do. Maybe I'm just not up on it. But if you did that just to stunt, man, that wasn't cool. Because the kids ate for what, 10 minutes? People ate for 10 minutes and now they're hungry as hell right now. Bet
yep,
you.
One day of free food.
Not even one day. 15 minutes of free food.
Okay, 15 minutes. I don't know if there was a limit or anything on there. But it was there and mm-hmm. it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, in my mind, I feel like if I was in those shoes, hey, let's go down to the registry. Who has the most delinquent property in the state of Michigan? Mm-hmm. I'm like, not state of Michigan, but in Detroit. Like, let's try to look out.
But then again, you know how us black folks is. I'm going to be 100 with you all the time.
Okay.
You know, I made this money. You wasn't in this gym with me shooting. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
I was in that recording studio laying these tracks down.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
You right.
That's my money, so why should I share it with y'all?
You right.
If you feel that way, by all means, I ain't mad at you. But don't get on a mic and be like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to go get back to my community and buy me, you know, fucking Coney Island hamburger. I'm just being real, and
100%, I do believe amongst the black community, it's like, hey, that was a positive look. That was a great look. Mm-hmm. But from a business aspect, like think it on a different level,
mm-hmm.
like you really didn't elevate them none.
No way, no how, no shape,
because some of them people is probably, let's just say out of the 100 people that came there, right, mm-hmm. from that same neighborhood, some of them walked, some of them drove, 15 of them is losing their home. They can't make their rent.
I say probably more than that, man. Cause I mean, I don't know if y'all up on it, but rent, mortgage, car notes, food,
yeah.
everything that went up pretty much, very, very much to where you really can't afford it. I got a household. It's me, my wife, and my three kids, okay?
Okay.
Every time we go grocery shopping, we spend about $700.
Okay.
And that ain't even filling the refrigerator up, bro. So if a person don't have a job like me and my wife, and they got 5 and 6 kids,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you can't tell me they eating good, man. You can't tell me they eating to be strong for the next day to go to school or learn, because they stomach growling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, if you go do something,
why is this motherfucker raising his
hand? I don't know, bro.
I don't know. No, but so you
he just wanted to jump in.
Look, we on a whole different subject now. But what you was saying about, you know, the whole aspect of groceries and all of that stuff is the black father. It's mm-hmm. the black father in you. You doing the thing. You doing what you need to do to provide for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, and I'm learning this, like, my dad wasn't perfect. You know, I mm-hmm. grew up in a single household, you know, no woman, okay. you know, had aunts and uncles. And the thing is, as I calculate back, it's like, okay, when I was a kid, my pops was like in his 30s.
I don't know how you calculate back, but I mean, recall.
Shut up.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
When I, you know what? Wait till this over. But when I think about, like, okay, when I was a kid, he was in his 30s.
Okay.
Now, was he with his dad? Nah, his mom and dad was fighting like cats and dogs. You know what I'm saying? From right. the story you tell me. So, for him to raise me and my brothers was a learning step for him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And me, I was the better kid. And my brother under me, he was the runaway kid. You know what I'm saying? So right. it's like, you can't say that all runaways or kids with behavior issues is because the father isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes it's mentally with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brother, he was like, oh, we got to go to bed at 8:00. Oh, I'm running away. Because he didn't want to abide by the rules of the house.
Mm-hmm.
That was an issue here.
Okay.
Not because the father wasn't in the house. But then in the same token, it was no woman backbone to help out. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Okay. I get
so,
that.
Even as time progressed, I mean, it was the same thing. Oh, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, I'm running away. Or I'm gonna fight you because of this. But as a black man, unless you have a 100% in-house strong father, you know, you're like basically everything is 100% perfect, you basically go off of what you see. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, facts. you only could love, like, as a husband, off of one, your internal feelings and what you see. If you don't see it, you don't have that to get the knowledge off of. Because here's the thing. If you see, if you in a household and your dad is beating your mom, guess what? You might start to think that that's life.
You think that's love.
Like, oh, is this what it is? Wah!
The perception that a lot of people have and their misconceptions on what love is, is the reality and the expectation and the reality is two different things. Okay. Now, one thing that a lot of people talking about now is, you know, healthy relationships. And I've told some women, like, I've never seen a healthy relationship, so I don't know what it is. I can't come into this relationship 100%, and because I don't know, one of us at least have to know what a healthy relationship looks like. If we both don't know what a healthy relationship look like, then we're constantly trying to figure out together and grow at the same time, trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong. How do we communicate? How do you communicate your own pain? You know, how do you communicate what you're feeling in a way where that person understands, doesn't judge you for it, and you present it with a certain tone that is not, one, demoralizing or assaultive or assertive in a way where they become defensive, and then it turns into a whole argument.
I'm gonna tell you like this, bro. you're not gonna like what I'm gonna say, but okay. Fuck it. You can't come into a relationship not loving yourself. You can't come into a relationship not liking yourself. You gotta start from the basement, which means you gotta dig deep, and you gotta go talk to somebody that you don't want to go talk to.
And you know what? I agree with you 100%. But can you imagine how much self-love a lot of Black people don't have? I'll be honest. I don't believe that I developed. No, I know that I didn't start self-love till about 35, 36.
You want to know why? You ain't had nobody to show you. Once again,
image.
Once again,
they, right?
Our Black fathers, our Black uncles, our Black cousins, all older than us. They didn't know how to love us or themselves, because guess what? Their fathers, their grandfathers, their great grandfathers didn't show them love. Go sit your ass down, boy. Boy, get up and come do this.
Or go sit your stupid ass down.
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck you up if you move again. That was their way of getting fear into us. You see what I'm saying? So once they had that fear into us, they were like, oh, well, we good. All I gotta do is look at him. He gonna sit his ass down. Yes, you're immensely fucking us up. You're absolutely correct. At 7 years old, I am mentally fucked up, because now I'm thinking my father's gonna jump off the bed, beat my ass, drag me down the stairs, kick me out the house. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. No, it's not. So we have to find, since we're at a advantage now to where we have the internet, we have access to everything.
Yes.
So now we have to go sit down and talk to somebody that we don't want to talk to. How this person with a degree gonna tell me about my motherfucking life? She ain't been in the goddamn street with me. No, but that shit works.
It does.
Because now you got somebody to tame your demons, and they don't even know they being tamed, because shit, she just giving you homework to do.
Now since we're still just talking about perception and and the Black community, why is the perception of therapy at a young age? Because you know, in some other cultures that can afford it,
they start
therapy at a very early age, whether it's, there's something wrong or there's not something wrong, because we all know at a young age we really don't talk to our parents. We don't open up 100%, but we'll go and open up to the teacher and tell the teacher every damn thing. We tell them shit that they don't even need to know, and then you got CPS
knocking
at the door. You want to know why? Because you tell your dad or your mom something, and then they on the phone with grandma. Trust issues.
That's what it is. It's the trust issues in the Black community.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know, because I didn't talk to my parents. You know what I'm saying? Because I was doing dirty shit. If I talked to mom, you know, this doggone crackhead jumped me because I gave him a piece of powder. You know what I'm saying? What? Boy, she been all upset my damn head. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So it's hard to, for a black man.
Yes.
It's hard to go to his wife, girlfriend, whatever, and say, baby, I think I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Because now she's looking like, oh, my protector is damaged. So now I have to step up. And when she steps up, the black mother is more guard than anything. So when she's guarding her cubs. Now, the father was in this circle. Now he's sitting on the outside halfway because she's making sure he don't touch a real mother.
Yeah.
Making sure he don't hurt them cubs.
Right.
So now she's side-eyeing him. Now her mouth getting a little slicker. Now he like, what the hell going on? Like, I just told her, you know, I think I need to talk to somebody. Damn. So if the mother is not fully backing the father and understanding even he needs help,
mm-hmm.
that could fuck up the household too, because now she's looking at him all crazy. Right. Now she side-mouthing him a little bit more than she used to. Now she, oh, now it's a little disrespect shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's mm-hmm. another disrespect shot. So how am I supposed to come to you and be vulnerable mm-hmm. when you're doing all these disrespect shots at me? Once again, like I said before, if I have to be hard in the world and come home and be hard, you're going to find an empty, cold-hearted person.
Right.
That you're laying with.
Right.
Which means now I don't give a fuck about nothing. So I can go out here and cheat, come to you, kiss you, and don't give a fuck because you made me this cold-hearted person because you gave me nowhere to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask this. So we're gonna keep it moving. And that was great. I love it. No, cold-hearted. If you want ice, you can always come to me. I can chip it off my heart right now. Chip right off my heart. Now, just thinking back to the audio, mm-hmm. and I want to just kind of focus on the end part that basically stated that in order to resolve these statistics, that it has to start with fathers in a household or fathers in their kids' lives. But then I want to add on something to that. If we're talking about fathers being in the household and fathers being in their kids' lives, but the Achilles to that is, how can a father do that when you have the other part, the adjacent party mm-hmm. to that whole situation, stopping that, but then wondering why their kid turned out the way that they did? Mm-hmm. So let's just go over these statistics one more time, just so we have that refresher. Mm-hmm. So we talking about 90% of runaways and homeless. We talking about 85% of behavior issues. We talking about 71% of high school dropouts. We're talking about 63% of suicides. And we also talking about 50+% because there was no actual number given mm-hmm. of those that turned out to be rapists. So how can we get two parties to say, yes, we had a relationship. Yes, we had a one night stand. Yes, we had our issues in the past. But for the future of our child to not fall into any of these statistical narratives, I need to be there. I don't need the negativity. I don't need to be talked down to. I don't need to be beaten on. I don't need to be taken to child support every time you think that you need more money mm-hmm. because you don't want to go do this, you don't want to go do that. Mm-hmm. How do we combat that whole idea to say we need both parents, strong parents, to provide the next generation with strong black kids and further create more strong black kids and healthier relationships, regardless on whether they're together or not, but have that communal conversation and say like, hey, we are here. We're here together.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of whether I got a girlfriend, got a wife, regardless, you got a boyfriend, you got a husband, we are all here to create a strong generation for the future.
Mm-hmm.
We can't focus on now, because the more that we focus on now, the more we lose mm-hmm. time, growth, experience. Yep. Those first 4 or 5 years of a kid's life is a sponge. Mm-hmm. The next 5 years is molding. Mm-hmm. The next 18 years after that, that child is lost. Mm-hmm. Because now they're subject to their friends, social media, the experience they have outside the household. Mm-hmm. You can still create memories inside the household, but you lose a lot of them. You lose a lot of that to what's outside the household. Yeah. What they soak out from there. Because now it's all about what they experience in the real world.
Yeah.
Because that's when they start to become more aware. Their hormones mm-hmm. start to kick in. Mm-hmm. So you start to lose them right around about 11, 12 years old. Yeah. And they started to go their own way. So I know that was a little bit long of a tangent. But when you put it into that type of perspective, what are some of the steps that are needed for some type of reconcile for two people to benefit the future generation and not worry about what's happening now? We're gonna go ahead and start with D, because it's like his brain is fried from this whole conversation.
Man, it's a lot. I mean, it's like the two individuals, one, have to be on the same page, and you already kind of hit that, but the two individuals have to be on the same page.
Right.
She can't be putting him down. He can't be putting her down. Like you said, my daughter's 6 years old. It's all a molding process. You know, it's all a process. And like I said, you have to have that image.
Right.
And you have to instill into your kid. It's just not, oh, you know, go in your room or I'm going to whoop you, you know.
Right.
Because that's going to make them like, oh, well, all I do is, you know, get threatened with whoopings. You have to instill right and wrong.
Right.
Good and bad.
Right.
You know, into those kids in hopes that the information that you're dishing out, they're really receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, you know, and I know, you know, fathers, mothers, parents in general, you work, you know, might go to school or whatever, but you have to create those memories and be there, because if you just go to work, come home and go to sleep, you're not teaching your kid nothing.
No, not at all.
So you have to invest time.
Yes.
You have to invest that time.
Yes.
Because I mean, even with me, guilty, I might come home, play the game. But, you know, for me, that's just so I won't go to sleep and be up all night when I need to be asleep for work. But, you know, still, you know, every now and again, I try to be like, okay, Aubrey, let's go. We about to go get some ice cream or something like that. Or we're going to go to the park. Even if it's just standing out on the balcony like earlier before we came, you know, out the house today. Stood on the balcony, flew the drone for a second. All right, we about to go, you know. We stopped to pick up an order for somebody at the range, and you know, little time like that. But you got to spend that time
right
at the end of the day, and you know, you just can't threaten the kids all day every day, because that is not going to, you know,
period.
It's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, because like back to when I was growing up, you get threatened to get beaten, you got to run away. Oh. you know, I mean, but it's like the dad is in the house,
right.
So like, what's the excuse? I mean, it's mentally in the kid's head,
right,
at that point, because that kid didn't have, you know, that
structure.
Yeah, that structure. I mean,
facts.
And it depends on the kid, because I didn't run away.
You're scary.
You know what? You were absolutely right.
He got to the corner and was like, I don't know where the hell I'm going.
No,
I was just not door to explore.
I probably was scared, but I wasn't to the point. I mean, my thing is, it was like, okay, it is what it is. I mean, these are the rules of the house. What can I do?
That's true.
I could run away, probably never be able to return home, you know, and every time it was an incident, 911. Yeah, my son ran away. Now you got a record mm-hmm. as a runaway.
Yeah.
You know, but like I say, you gotta have that structure and that time. I mean, or it's gonna be nothing.
Yeah, facts.
I mean, it's just like, come on, Steph Curry ain't get a jumper just by shooting the ball one time, right?
I mean, he had to be with his dad all the time.
He had to be with his dad.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to learn from something.
Yeah, true.
You have to.
True.
You know, if you don't have that guidance, you're going to be lost forever.
Right.
My thought process is like a different way. Like you said, you know, the parents got to be on the same page. But what hurt people are always on the same page.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? True. Hurt people hurt people.
That's true.
So me personally, I would say once you have a child, once you have a child, because once you're together and you're an adult, you can do whatever to each other. Y'all fuck each other lives up. I don't care. Right. But once a child is involved, I say you get free counseling. You know what I'm saying? So shit won't start fucking up. It could be good.
Right.
But my thing is first father counseling.
Right.
Get this mind together, black man. Or even white man, Hispanic man. I don't care. Man, get your mind right. Women, counseling. Get your mind right. Then bring them all together. Family counseling. Let the child talk, but don't let them get disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I say then and only then we can really start working on the future as far as, okay, we can take this somewhere else now. We know this worked because the kid's now 19. He's doing good. He ain't raped nobody. He ain't beat up nobody. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So now the black father is mentally good and the black mother's mentally good. They don't have to tear down each other.
Right.
Because they're not hurt no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But if you put two people that's hurt in a room together, man, stop playing. Ain't nothing gonna come out of that situation but more pain.
That's true.
You know? So I think that would be the best way. Counseling all the way around. You know?
Okay.
Because we haven't been given a book and said, this is how you start a relationship. This is how you court the lady. Once you get pregnant, this is what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Once that baby comes, this is what's gonna happen.
Mm.
We ain't got no books out here like that.
No,
not at all.
All we got is, like y'all say, we was looking at our fathers like, oh, that's love then. If he punch her, she cry, she get back up, she make his food, she hug him. I'm sorry. That's love. No, that's not love, my young black kid. It's not it. So, if you gonna start it off right, I say start off with a mediator. That mediator is the counselor.
Right.
I understand black folks don't like people in their business. We don't need them in our business. We grown. You grown, but you hurt.
That's true. And you holding on to that hurt.
And you hope. Now, when you grown, you learn how to let that hate and that hurt go. But the only way you're going to do that is with help.
That's true.
You can't let something go that you've been holding on to. Oh, you know what? I'm done with this hate and hurt today. I'm going to take this off today. Yeah, I feel a little lighter. No. People got to help.
And just to say this, you know, I did do an episode on forgiveness. You know,
I ain't gonna lie, that's hard to do.
It is. And I went on record and forgave some people. I ain't forgive a lot of people. it's some shit I ain't ready to let go yet. I ain't gonna fucking lie. But I did go on record and like, no, well, you know, we have to practice forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things to give. And you don't even have to tell the person that you forgive them. You just have to forgive them for you. And I'm gonna be honest, I'm going, oh man, that's gonna be crazy. I'm going to a family event where there are some people there that I've been beefing with for the last 15 years.
Mm.
And I don't even know if they're aware that I've been beefing with them for the last 15 years. But I told myself I'm going with an open mind, an open heart, and I'm going with open arms.
Now that you said that, you're a black father, you're a black man, ain't none of that shit gonna work. I'm gonna tell you why. You're gonna try it by yourself. You need someone to give you the tools. So if somebody start mouthing off, instead of you saying, man, fuck that, I was gonna forgive you, punk ass, but you ain't shit.
You absolutely right. And you the person that gave me the tools, mm-hmm. is no longer here for me to lean on. Mm-hmm. So I have to take those lessons that she gave me, mm-hmm. and I have to, you know, work them forward, but much as I can.
You can get them shined up. Find a counselor or talk to somebody else.
You know, I had a counselor.
You can shine them tools up.
Yeah,
she was nice. I ain't talking about fucking them.
I was not saying like that.
But I'm just saying.
First of all, if I was to get a counselor, she would definitely have to be a female. And she would have. She would definitely have to.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
She definitely gonna have to look good.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
I ain't gonna.
Male counselors is the best, bro. For a man, I'm gonna tell you why.
I would say that about male doctors.
I'm gonna tell you why. But I'm not counselor.
No, I don't want. I don't
know where we're coming from.
I don't want a male counselor.
Okay. Now watch this. He said he want a female counselor, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who was you raised by?
I was raised by my grandmother.
That's a woman, right?
Right.
You say he had father figures, right?
Right.
Your mother was in there too, right?
And not.
She was in the mix. She was in the mix.
I mean, if we was to put right. if we would put a recipe to it, I would say about 1 hour.
But my whole point is,
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. If I was ever thinking about going to a counselor, then I would give a black male 30. Yeah. I'll give him a 30-day trial, and I'll tell him, I say, you got 30 days.
And I'm telling you, it's gonna blow your mind, because he come from the same background as you. He just so happened to crawl up out of the gutter and be something that,
I mean, but how
a
do,
tool.
Okay.
He be a tool for us.
Okay. Now, mm-hmm. you know, changing gears. So give me your last opinion based on everything that we had talked about, everything that had came up. You know, just give me what your summary idea of how we can move forward, reduce these statistics, and get more black men to be in their child's lives, whether using the court system to fight their cases to get in there because they have rights. They just don't know that they have those rights, mm-hmm. to be able to go ahead and fight. Everybody think they need a lawyer to go and fight an FOC. You don't need a lawyer to go fight an FOC. You just need to be able to go do your due diligence. Mm-hmm. You know how them officers and the prosecutors build a case? You need to do the same thing. You need to know how to build your case. Even if you got to pad that shit with a whole bunch of bullshit in order to get that shit in the court to say, hey, she did. Let her come defend it.
Right.
You know, like, you know what? Courtroom. I seen her giving a blowjob in a car while the kid was sitting outside in the car seat. Like, I got pictures.
Well, long she in that courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Let her go ahead and defend it. Say, I ain't did that. Mm-hmm. But we got the picture right here. Well, that don't even look like me. Well, that like the same ponytail you was wearing last Thursday. So, but based on everything that we had talked about, D, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to throw this one at you. Go ahead, just give me your last opinion, and just, you know, we just gonna wrap everything up.
I gave you my opinion, sir.
Jeff, no chance.
See?
I can't keep on playing with you.
All right, for sure. Like I said, if we wanna move forward, we gotta heal first. In order to heal first, we have to have the tools to heal. In order to get the tools, it's just like going to the store. You have to go somewhere else to get your help.
Right.
You can't be in the same place that you're finding pain.
That's true.
And anger to heal.
Facts.
So my whole thing is get counseling for these babies.
Yeah.
To help these black men so they can leave something besides pain and anger to that baby. You know what I'm saying?
True.
And for the women, we're not gonna leave women out. Women are fucked up too, so they need just as much counseling. It takes a village to raise a child.
Right.
But if you don't trust that village, how in the world can it raise somebody?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So we need to start from the base. We need to start from the ground to get trust, get communities, centers open to where they can have little classes to show you what to do in certain situations. We need more family-oriented things shown to us and how to do them.
Right. Not just the Huxtables.
Exactly. Not just the Huxtables, you know, or Black-ish married with children.
And
I know that's white, but still, that's
that
my shit.
That is white. or you know, damn, Family Matters.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We need the real shit in front of us and saying, this is how you do this with your family.
Right.
And we can go from that point.
And you're right about that, because the new episodes, they ain't black on black, they black on mixed. We gonna switch back over to you.
I mean, Jeff hit a lot of it. You have to love yourself.
Facts.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I can't be a man and not love myself and then try to love my kid or my wife.
Right. Right.
You know, and they tell you, a lot of married people, even before you get married, go see a marriage counselor.
Not the pastor.
Not the pastor. I mean, my marriage counselors was a married couple. It was a married couple.
That works.
And, you know, they talked about different aspects of a relationship, how you should handle it. You know, they went into biblical aspects, which is fine, you know. Yeah. But they're like, this is what you need to seek, and this is how you need to move forward with these certain situations. You know, they talked about blended families. If you never went to marriage counseling, you'd be like, how do I handle a blended family situation? You wouldn't know how unless you saw somebody handle it, which is the likeliness. Mm-hmm. You know, you really don't know.
Right.
So you have to build that foundation and that structure. And us as men, we have to lay it down. Like, this is how it has to be. Like, this is what I'm going to do as a father, as a man, you know, make sure I'm in my kid's life. Make sure, you know, I'm showing respect to my wife.
Yeah.
You know, in front of my kid. So right. That way they're like,
that's important.
Okay, this is how my dad treated, you know, my mom. Mm. So this is the way to go. Like, I'm not going to sit up here and, you know, argue in front of, you know, the kid with my wife. Like, oh, no, you little stupid bald head heifer. You know, you make me sick. Because then the kid is going to reciprocate that. They're soaking that in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're going to lash out, because they're like, okay, this is what's okay. Like, we have to stop doing that as a whole.
That's good.
You got to stop being degrading, you know.
That's good. Facts. That's good.
I mean, because like you said earlier, Jake, it's like after our walls, it's the outside world.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
If they're listening to the music talking about XYZ, a dog hose, you know what I'm saying? It's that's what we do. My dad ain't teach me that.
I get it. Man, I mean, y'all have provided some, you know, profound last opinions, man. Like, I love it, you know, from, you know, loving yourself and, you know, forgiveness. And I don't know where I can really go from there, because it's like my turn, but I'm gonna try, you know, I'm gonna try. When we think about black men in a household, when we think about the statistics that we have, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know where this guy got these statistics from, because obviously it wasn't directed towards the black community. Now, we do know from previous episodes of the Black Father Inclusivity, we heard recordings that basically said that black men are in a household. Black men are doing what they supposed to do. So the fact that this person states these statistics right after the gentleman that said that black fathers are in the household and are beating the stereotypes, it makes little or no sense. how these numbers are so high. We're talking about what, 8 billion people in America, or just let's just say 1 billion people in America, and we're talking about 90% of the kids are runaways, 60% are suicides. That's wow. That is staggering numbers to say that, because basically it's a blanket statement. With fathers not in a household, these are the numbers that you get.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at that, why is there successful black women? Why is there successful black men? Mm-hmm. Let's call them out. There's a few basketball players who fathers wasn't in a household, but has been successful. That doesn't fall to this stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about loving yourself, going into a relationship, and matter of fact, let's play it in order. So let's go with putting a father in a household, okay? Mm-hmm. But that father also got to know that he has to love himself. But he hasn't got that from previous generations. What is he supposed to do? Because he can't show self-love to a child that he doesn't even know self-love himself. So he's just passing on the same demons from child to child to child. So now you got generations of issues that's proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's talk about how you have two parents that are loving, but yet your kids still come out to be a serial killer, still come out to be a rapist, came from a loving household, did no wrong, went to a successful college, Ted Bundy, and then and still went and raped and killed people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that the statistics doesn't show that number?
Mm-hmm.
It's too blanketed for that number to be apparent. Okay, so let's move further. So now we get the black father in the household, but the black father don't know self-love. Now let's just say he do know love and forgiveness, and he show it to that child. It's not a guarantee that child is still gonna be a product of an environment, because what if he get caught up in a situation that he's not supposed to be in?
Mm-hmm.
So now he's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
No, now he got his record. Okay, he's with some friends that he wasn't supposed to be with, but yet he came from a loving household because a man is there, but yet now he had a criminal record because he was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard a story from a friend of mine's. His father wasn't in the household, okay? He dropped out of school at a young age. He dropped out of eighth grade. So, you know, he can't go and get no GED. He can't go get shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally just out there in the wind. Now, he work on cars and everything. Good friend of mine. He's a cool dude, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things he told me is he went to jail last year. I said, damn, bro, you went to jail? Like, what happened? He was like, man, one of my brother's childhood friends pulled up in a stolen Charger. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to test the brakes out on it. I get in, driving around the corner, the police is hot on his tail. He pull up in front of the house, police pull him out the car, arrest him, and take him to jail.
Wow.
Now, let's just say he had a strong father, a father figure in his house, or a father in his life. It was like, you know, maybe some red lights would have went off. Or if he would have furthered his education, maybe the real life would have went up like, dang, why he hop out the car so quick and then want me to jump in and go test drive it?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think nothing of it. Didn't see the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Jeff, you ran up on me, like, M&G, man, hop in this car real quick, man, test these brakes out, man, I'm going to stay right here. You ain't going to get in, too? Like, you ain't going to come listen with me? No, you go here. You seem like you in a rush,
mm-hmm.
you know, to hurry up, get me in this car so I can drive off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should be putting two to two together. Maybe somebody should be telling me something. Something should be going off of, wait a minute, why are you pushing me off the driving this car so bad?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, bro, hold on, wait. Let me just wait for a second. No, let's put it up on the jack real quick and then let's look at the brakes. We ain't even got a driver. Let's just put it up on the jack. I mean, it's a brand new Charger. Why the brakes hit?
Right.
Man just stole it. He trying to tell the officers, look, he the one that stole it. You know what he said? In front of his girlfriend. That ain't in my car. I don't know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Another scenario. I knew this guy I used to work with at Meijer. Me and him was real cool. Okay. I didn't have a strong back father in my background either. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm riding with this cat. He came over. Hey, man, you like this? He had a gun. I'm like, yeah, man, that boy smooth. Because some cats was out there after me. So I'm like, hey, this is straight. Look, let's... What you want to do? Hey, man, just hold it for me. Not thinking, why this motherfucker want me to hold his gun?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, any clean gun, ain't nobody about to let nobody hold no clean gun.
Mm-hmm.
it ain't rapping with me. So I'm like, all right, cool. I throw the joint in the backyard. We ride off, go to his house. Police at his crib. Where the gun at? Gun was just used in a murder. My man was about to send me upstate for his boy that shot somebody. He about to send me upstate. So they send us back out to go and get it. And come to find out, the police was following us the whole time when we picked it up and dropped it off. He was about to set me up. Why wasn't I paying attention? Why my red lights didn't go off? I didn't see the signs because I thought everybody that was around you was a fucking friend. I thought everybody that you came across was cool to trust. That, hey, maybe my man just want to give me something. I'm in a little bit of trouble anyways. Sure, I need to go ahead and get it anyway. So when they come, I'm already ready for them. Not knowing, why this dude want to come in the middle of the night and drop off a gun to me? Why?
Like, wouldn't you just sleep?
You know, it ain't cross my mind, but I digress. Yes, we should definitely practice forgiveness. Yes, we should definitely heal. And yes, we do need to teach the next generation, not demoralize them. Hey, yes, you was a smart black young man. You have the strength of a warrior. You have the confidence and the bravery of a lion. You have the intelligence of an elephant. We have to educate and praise them more so they can have their own confidence going into this world, because without that lack of confidence, we see what happens to them. Without that education, we see what happens to them. You know, education doesn't begin and end in school. You are the first line of education and the last line of education, as well as the first line of defense. That's one thing that we got to remember as black people. And when we do see issues and we need to sort out our demons, we definitely do need to go talk to somebody. We don't need to go talk to our friends. We don't need to go talk to our parents. We don't need to go talk to teachers and father figures and everybody like that. We don't need to go have those conversations, because we need more of a professional opinion for a person that don't know our background to be able to sit here and tell us what we need to say to other people when we know that they're getting too deep into our own business and they have no investment in our future. None.
Facts.
I'm MNG. This is Pharaoh, Mr. Nice Guy. We got D on the mic. Came through, had his discussion. Jeff No Chaser has done it again, has put everybody on his back and was like, know what? I'm gonna carry this conversation and I'm telling y'all how it is. Fuck the world.
That's right.
Make sure y'all go ahead and follow us on Instagram at FarewellMNG. Make sure you follow us on TikTok at FarewellMNG. We own WhatsApp. That's Farewell Mr. Nice Guy. And if you want to go ahead and send us an email, that's FarewellMrNiceGuy@gmail.com. All right, we'll see you on the next recording. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Farewell Mr. Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists, and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.